Welcome to the All or Something Living podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Kepler, and this podcast is all about ditching black and white thinking and exploring the gray areas of health, happiness, and everything in between. If you're ready to feel empowered and inspired, then let's get to it. Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 15 of the All or Something Living podcast. 15, which means I've already been doing this for 15 weeks, which I don't know how many months that is, because anytime I ask anybody that's pregnant how far along they are and they tell me like 24 weeks or something, I always am like, okay, how many months is that? Because I am not good at that math. So 15 weeks, I guess that's almost 4 months, which it's flown by. And if you've been listening since episode one, then I'm wondering if it's flown by for you too. If you have any feedback yet for me, if you haven't left a review yet, wherever you are listening, especially iTunes is my favorite platform, or Google Play, or Spotify, really. I'm not sure if the platform that I use for my website allows you to leave reviews, but I feel like it should. But either way, I would love some feedback on, are you enjoying the content? Are you enjoying the format, the way that I'm telling the stories or bringing up the topics? Is there something that you want me to change or improve on? Do you have any topic requests? I seriously will take any and all feedback. So let me know, or like I said, the best way that you can do so is to leave me a review, or you can get in contact with me through social media at Lauren M. Kepler at Instagram, or on Instagram, shall I say, and then on in Facebook. I don't know if I'm easy to find, but Lauren Kepler, and then just look for my beautiful picture and you'll find me there. But anyway, I had an episode for this week planned about perfectionism. However, as you can imagine, through the holidays, we tend to get kind of busy and caught up on things. So it's like 3:30 p.m. on New Year's Eve. This is when I would usually, so Mondays are usually when I work on my business, at least for now. I'll tell you more about those updates in a few minutes, but I normally spend Mondays working on my business, so by now, like by 10 o'clock a.m. on Mondays, usually a podcast episode or two has been recorded, and I've done a lot more by 3:30, and today, I'm like right now, I'm still in my pajamas. I just spent like the last 3 hours. I got this worksheet from Awesome with Allison. If you haven't heard that podcast, then I recommend checking that out. But Awesome with Allison, I think that's what her podcast is called. I'm pretty sure. But anyway, I did her worksheet. I was like, oh, this will just take a few minutes. It ended up taking me like 3 or 4 hours, but I got some really good clarity on how I want 2019 to look. And honestly, what I realized is that like I just want to do what I've been doing in 2018 more consistently. The end of this year has been when I started really feeling better and kind of like I was getting myself together. The first half of this year was kind of a disaster, kind of messy, not like a total disaster, but I just wasn't feeling myself like myself for a really long time. So I'm working on getting everything back together, I suppose. But again, I'll talk more about that in a minute. So Jason had to go into work at 3 o'clock this morning. And so he got home, he left at like 3 a.m., was home by like 7 a.m. He just had to do something quickly. And so I thought that I was going to like have the morning to myself, that he was going to be at work for longer. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get up first thing and I'm going to clean the entire house, and then I'm going to work on my podcast and my business, and then I'm going to do this and that and that. And he, like I said, he was home by 7. He got back into bed at 8 a.m. and he slept until like 12 or so. And I didn't want to disrupt him, so I didn't record a podcast episode. I didn't clean. And honestly, I had a headache, so I got back in bed with him for a while. And then I went back downstairs and started watching Fixer Upper. And then I've been watching Catfish as I've been planning out my 2019. So that's what's been up with me today. I don't really know if I'm going to do anything for New Year's Eve tonight because I work tomorrow. And then the rest of this week as usual. So just not really feeling like the spirit of the holidays this year, which is fine. I've had other things on my mind. But I guess we'll see where the night takes us. I do have a bottle of champagne chilled in the fridge ready to go. So hopefully my headache will be 100% gone in a few hours so I can at least partake in that part of the night. So I just wanted to give you a life update on what I've been up to. And then, like I said, keep this episode short. I want to share a conversation that I had with a friend a few nights ago that I thought was really helpful and transformational, not only for her, but for me as well. So we'll get into that. But first, like I keep teasing about what's going on in my life, I'm making some really big changes for the new year. And honestly, I didn't really like plan it as if like, this is how I'm going to do my New Year's resolution. It just so happened to be the beginning of the year that I'm making all these changes, but it works out nicely. And I think maybe that's why I've been feeling really awesome and inspired, because I know that there's big changes on the way. And I've realized that I am not a person who likes to be stagnant, and I am way happier when I am changing and growing consistently. So here's what's going on. I will be quitting my job. I've worked in the same job for about 5 years now, and I realized that the time I've been in this job has surpassed the time that I was in the Air Force. Usually when I am in a job for this amount of time that I know isn't like my final destination, I start to get restless. That's when I feel stagnant, and then that's when I notice I start to get depressed or moody or just kind of feel hopeless, and that's where I was. Couldn't figure out like for the first half of this year what was going on with me, like why I couldn't seem to get it together. And then I realized that I am kind of stuck somewhere where I am just not growing, and I'm ready to grow. So I'm quitting my full-time job with benefits and the comfort of that to go back to school. The nice thing about going back to school is that I do have the GI Bill, so I will be able to use that. And when you get the GI Bill, if you know about this, you actually get paid to go to school. So I get a monthly allowance in order to go to school, but it's not enough to cover all of my bills and expenses completely, so I will have to get a part-time job along with that. But I still feel very fortunate and very blessed to even have this option. So I'm signed up for my classes. I'm all registered and ready to go. I had a job interview with CarMax, actually two interviews like 2 weeks ago, right before the holidays. So now I'm at a place where I'm just waiting to hear back from them on whether or not I got the job or if they want to bring me in for another job interview. And so hopefully that falls into place. Working in the CarMax business office, I think, would be a very good part-time job. They told me during the interviews that it's a challenging job with lots of changing, like a changing environment every day, which is exactly what I want. So I decided that I will be going back to school for nutrition. I think I would like to be a dietitian. Not 100% sure yet, because I believe you have to be certified in the state where you are living. And with Jason and I moving around all the time, with him being in the Air Force, we don't know where we'll be. So I don't want to go through all the work to get certified in one state and then have to, you know, redo it in another state. So I might just go for a nutritionist. But either way, my goal is to be able to delve deeper into what I already know about nutrition. So what I've learned, like I know the basics of nutrition, but what I've learned is really it's not about the nutrition, it's about your relationship to food. But I would still like to be able to take the studies around nutrition and all that stuff and be able to kind of, to translate it for clients or for the people that take my online courses and things like that. That way it's like kind of helping you have an understanding of why nutrition is important, but also understanding that mental health and the way that you treat yourself and the way that you live your life is more important. So I've seen a lot of dietitians on Instagram that are intuitive eating dietitians, anti-diet. They're more toward healing your relationship to food. If I do get into that, I would love to get into eating disorder recovery, being somebody who myself has had an eating disorder that I recovered from, and helping others get out of that would be such a great experience, especially because I know that when you recover from an eating disorder, you basically get your life back. So I'd love to be able to give back in that way. So I'm going to start school for that. Next semester, it's still the what do you call it? The gen ed classes. So I'm really actually excited. I'm taking English, I'm taking math, I'm taking psychology, which I love. And then I'm taking Spanish class. I took Spanish like all throughout elementary, middle, and high school. So I'm in intermediate college Spanish and I'm really looking forward to getting back to that. So I'm just really excited for the new year to start to dive into all of this and to continue working on this podcast and putting out awesome resources for you and to continue working on my meal prep course. My meal prep maven is what I am naming it, which will be launching in April. So slowly making changes, but I think that's the best way to do it, or at least I've learned that that's the best way to do it, is just one step at a time. So that's what's going on in my life. That's why Mondays will be a little bit different, because Mondays I'll have school, so I won't be working on my business. But believe it or not, being in school full-time and having a part-time job actually leaves me a lot more leftover time than having a full-time job and nothing else does. I know it sounds weird, but I've already literally mapped out how my life is going to look, and it's going to be amazing. So that's what's going on there. And then for the holidays, my stepson, Jason's son, Jalen, has been out of town staying with his mom in Florida and their family down there. And so it's just been me and Jason. I've had the last 6 days off of work, which has been really refreshing and really nice. And of course, I'm ready to get back into my routine tomorrow. But I do just feel really rejuvenated. Like I said, we haven't gotten too much into the holiday spirit, but we did just go up to Big Bear this week, Big Bear Lake, California. We spent 3 days there, and the only reason that we went there was because Jason got like a free stay because they wanted us to attend a timeshare presentation up there to see if, you know, we'd be interested in buying into a timeshare. Obviously, I'm sure you've heard terrible things about timeshares. I have as well. So I was really hesitant. I was afraid that like they were going to con us into going up there and staying. And then if we didn't like buy into it, then we'd end up having to pay for our stay. But gosh, the time went by so fast. Really, we got up there Wednesday. We got up there Wednesday afternoon, pretty late, like 5 p.m. So then we hung out all that night. Then we had Wednesday, but that's when we had to attend the timeshare presentation, or Thursday, sorry. And then we went home Friday. So our first night there, Wednesday night, we had some friends that came up and stayed with us too in the little cabin that we stayed in. So that was really cool. A couple that we've been friends with for like, I think 3 or 4 years, Jason deployed with her husband that long ago. And then we met when we were picking them up from the airport when they were coming back from deployment. So they've been really good friends to us for a long time. So we went up to Big Bear and, they're the ones that came up to Big Bear with us. So that Wednesday night, of course, we stayed up till like 3 a.m. playing board games and having drinks. And so when we woke up the next day, we had to attend that presentation for the timeshare at like 12:30 p.m. And I told Jason, like, because I was feeling kind of hungover, and I was like, listen, I'm not in the mood for this. Like, you just take over. I'll just listen. And again, you kind of have to be firm with these guys because they use some really, really, I want to say firm again, but whatever, I'll just say it again, but firm sales tactics. Like they're really pushy, kind of like car salesmen, you know? So we went and I decided to just go in with an open mind anyway. So throughout the presentation, I was asking a lot of questions about it. And we got to the end, of course, to the sales pitch part. And the guy was like really friendly and really nice this entire time, very personable. So I really enjoyed the entire presentation. But then the energy got weird once it came to the sales part. And I had an open mind. I asked all the questions I needed to ask. And then at the end, Jason and I just looked at all the prices and just decided like, this isn't worth it. Cause you're paying $10,000 just for the timeshare, but then you still have to pay for the rooms when you use them. And then you have to pay an annual membership fee. So genuinely, I was like, this is not for us. And I was really proud of myself because I was actually the one doing all the talking at the end. when he was asking about it, and I was just like, look, like this isn't going to work for us right now. We don't make financial decisions just this quickly. He tried to like I said, his energy changed. He was like rolling his eyes at me and like trying to make me feel stupid, but I was calling out all of his sales tactics because me being an entrepreneur, obviously I've been trained in sales as well. So I know what kind of sales tactics people use now. So like sense of urgency and just different things like that. So when I was calling him out on it, saying like, I know that you're doing this because of this, he'd like roll his eyes and like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so then that also made it easier to say no, because I was like, okay, obviously you need my money and just not going to do this. So we still got our free stay, which was nice. And then the rest of the time was really awesome. And during that time, I had a really good conversation with my friend, which is what I was going to tell you guys about to close this out. I felt like it was a really important conversation to have. So she has been my friend since she was my friend even when I was really deep into like bodybuilding and the health and fitness world. So she knew me then during the time when I was really extreme about weight loss and working out and not necessarily diets. I called it a lifestyle change, but I was like obsessive around food. So she knew me a little bit then, not very well. But when Jason and I, we took a break for like a month a few years ago, and it was when her husband was deployed again. So I stayed with her for a month. And during that time, she got to see very close up me as I was actually still attending the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I actually lived with her when I first found out that I had binge eating disorder, and that's what I was struggling with for so long. So she witnessed that part. She was witnessing basically me in eating disorder recovery. So she kind of saw my weird relationship to food, but also like she saw how sensitive that I was around food and comments about weight loss and dieting and stuff. So I'm just now getting to a point in healing my relationship to food and my body where I'm not triggered or angered or whatever it is by people talking about how they're on diets or trying to lose weight. If you know me personally and you've been around me during this time, then maybe it's been challenging for you. Maybe you feel like you have to censor yourself around me, or maybe you feel like I'm judging you for your choices, which... yeah, that's been a really tough part of recovery. And I admit that I haven't been the easiest to be around, and I haven't been the funnest person to be around. And I'm just thankful that I've been able to get through that. And now I'm reaching a point in my relationship to food and my body that I'm able to not only hear what others are going through, but also like resonate with them. So instead of rejecting people completely for talking about how they want to diet or weight or lose weight, like I have had a tendency to be like, just don't do that. Like, you know, just trying to talk people out of it. But I've been learning that it doesn't really work, and it never worked for me. So I don't know why, you know, I thought that it would work for others. But again, you just kind of like, when people find Jesus for the first time, they think it's like the only way. And so they're very kind of preachy and pushy. And I was this way about fitness and when I was really into fitness, and I didn't like that side of me. And then here I am again going the opposite way, but being extreme about that. This is why I have a podcast called The All or Something Living. This is why I teach a concept about all or something living, because I personally struggle with this so much, falling into the extremes, falling into the black and white ways of thinking. And so I think having this platform to speak about it really helps remind me to not fall into those extremes, but also to remind those who need to hear the same thing consistently. So anyway, so we're up in Big Bear, we're chatting, and she's telling me, because her and her husband, they both separated from the military a few years ago, and they afterwards kind of just got lazy and gained some weight. And I think the normal, what a lot of people do when they separate from the military, because you're forced to like work out and be active and stuff, and maybe it was an act of rebellion or whatever it was for them, that's what happened. And so then they started putting themselves on diets, and I believe they're on Weight Watchers together, or she's on Weight Watchers and she helps them out. So back to how those conversations have gone in the past of like, well, don't be on Weight Watchers. Weight Watchers is stupid. This is why, blah, blah, blah. I was able to like listen to her and hear her experience with Weight Watchers and why she thinks that it's good for her and why she enjoys it. And I think what a lot of people have a misconception around when I talk about, like when they tell me about diet, their diets or cleanses or Weight Watchers or whatever, is that I don't know or understand the plan, but I've done it all and I still continue to research them. So I know about Weight Watchers. I know why people tend to go towards things like Weight Watchers. I know about their new plan. And I still would call it a diet, and it's not sustainable. However, and this is where we were able to see eye to eye, I do see a point in having these things around. I do get frustrated because I kind of feel like it holds people back for longer than they need to be held back. But when it comes to things like Weight Watchers, for me, my version of Weight Watchers was intermittent fasting. So I was getting really deep into the dieting weight loss thing to where I was starting to take diet pills and use waist trainers. And when I discovered intermittent fasting, I had heard for the first time that I could eat whatever I wanted. Granted, it had to be within like a small window. And again, with intermittent fasting, I understand that you still count your macros, things have to fit inside your macros. There are still like a bunch of rules and guidelines that you have to follow, and that you can choose the window of time that works for you, whether it's 12 hours, 8 hours, 4 hours, whatever. But regardless of all of that, I knew, I needed to hear for the first time that I could eat all foods and be okay. So I believe that intermittent fasting was a stepping stone for me into experiencing food freedom. So even though I wasn't successful with intermittent fasting because it actually propelled my binge eating disorder worse than ever, it was the thing that broke me like from diets and made me realize like, screw this. I've tried everything. Like I seriously have tried everything and I'm only getting more obsessive. I'm only getting worse. I just want to say fuck it and just give up. And that's when I did. That's when I, because I had heard that I could eat whatever I wanted for the first time, then I was able to hear a message from Maddie Moon, who was the first like intuitive eating anti-diet coach that I had heard of. So then when she said, eat whatever you want and don't stress about it at all, I was ready to hear that. And I think the thing that's appealing about Weight Watchers and how I can understand how it could be helpful is that it's telling people you can eat what you want, but then there's still guidelines to it, but it's still you're hearing you can eat what you want, have food freedom, quote unquote, have flexibility with your food. So if you're already prepared to hear that message, then that's a stepping stone to hearing that, guess what, you don't have to have guidelines at all for the rest of your life, and following all these rules is actually not as helpful, and it's not sustainable. That's the number one thing, is it's not sustainable. It's not something that you can do for life. And the reason that Weight Watchers offers lifetime memberships for those who keep the weight off is because it's so rare that it happens. So less than 5% of people actually, and think about all the people that are actually on Weight Watchers, less than 5% do qualify for the lifetime membership. And in general, less than 5% of people successfully diet and keep the weight off. So you got to follow those studies like for longer than just a few years, because some people can manage to keep it off for a few years. But when you're living in like when you're living through willpower and self-control, it's eventually the ball is going to drop. And that's like a tension that it's just not fun. It feels like a weight is on your shoulders. So anyway, so we talked about that, and then so that brought us to the conversation of, okay, a stepping stone, eating whatever you want for the first time. And we talked about how this is something I've talked about with a few friends of mine, and I know is a common thing that comes up for people, is they think, well, if I just eat whatever I want, then I'm just going to end up binging for the rest of my life. I'm just going to eat. Like, if I said I could have as much pizza as I wanted, I would eat pizza every single day and not eat anything else. Like, people are really convinced of that. And the there is evidence in how we do that, because right now, if we're not allowing ourselves to have pizza, or if we're allowed to have it like once a week or once a month or whatever restrictions we're placing on it, we know that we can't have pizza every day if we want it. So then when we can have it, we tend to eat more than we really think that we should have. And then that's where we get to the point where we think we can't trust ourselves with food, because this is what happens. We just overeat when we finally get access to these foods. So I was explaining to her that when I healed my relationship to food, or changed, like when I stopped binge eating, it happened because I allowed myself to eat all the foods that I wanted all the time. That was the first step in recovering from my eating disorder. And I was terrified, you guys. Like, I seriously thought that I was going to gain 300 pounds. When I told Jason that I was done dieting, it just wasn't the quality of life that I wanted to live anymore. I was tired of fighting with my body. Me and him were both scared. Like, I'm just being completely honest. And so I started to, this is how it looked for me. So I just knew that I would never diet again, and I had to just trust myself. I started by just eating all the foods that had been off limits for so long. I bought myself a bunch of ice cream, and honestly, I tended to go little by little, because there would be one food that I'd be fixated on. So say it's like sugar cereal. I was never allowed to have that growing up. It was always a no-no food. So I started buying sugar cereal, and I would basically go through a phase. So I'd eat a ton of sugar cereal for a week. And then after that week was over, I'd be like, well, I'm over that. Like, I don't want to look at that again for a while. So then the next week I'd be like, I'd have this ice cream craving. And then I would eat ice cream for like a week. And not only ice cream, I would eat other things, but I would just eat as much ice cream as I wanted. That phase would end and I'd move on and on. So it took me a little while to get through all those phases of eating all the foods that had always been off limits. But eventually it neutralized, and I started to just kind of see food as food, and no food really had any power over me anymore. So I wasn't obsessive. Like, people are always like, oh, I just want chocolate so bad, or I have such a sweet tooth, and if I allow myself to have some, I can't stop. Eventually that does go away. So I challenged her. I asked her what her favorite food was. She said, it's pizza. So I said, okay, allow yourself to just start there. Allow yourself to have as much pizza as you want whenever you want, and just see what happens. So, and then the other key, if you plan on doing something like this, is to make sure that when you are eating that food, there's no guilt associated with it. You're not worried about gaining weight. So that means you're not weighing yourself on a daily basis. I'm not saying that you can eat whatever you want and not gain weight. However, eventually when you do heal your relationship to food, you won't go on those like yo-yo weights anymore. So you won't gain a bunch of weight and then have to lose it and then gain, because that's worse for your health than actually like having extra weight on you. So I challenged her to do that. And again, you want to stay present, guilt-free, don't weigh yourself. And I can't remember what the other thing was. Just trust the process and trust in yourself, and just experiment. Like, don't expect any specific results. Just see what happens and allow yourself unconditional permission to do that. Then the last thing that we talked about was emotional eating. So when it comes to emotionally eating, the first step when you're dealing with your, like if you're somebody who emotionally eats a lot, then the first step that you can take is awareness, because there's nothing wrong with emotional eating. We all do it. It's part of life. Like, we emotionally eat when we celebrate somebody's birthday by eating cake, or when we celebrate Thanksgiving and we get together and eat, or when we're happy and we're eating because we're happy. So all of us eat emotionally, even when we have a healthy relationship to food. The part where it gets dangerous, or the part where it becomes a problem, is if that's the only thing we're doing. We're only eating emotionally. That's our only coping mechanism, shall I say. So the first thing that you can do when you're eating emotionally, when you notice you're doing it often, is you just become aware. So maybe you grab yourself some ice cream from the freezer and you're like, I had a bad day. I'm feeling really sad. I'm going to eat this ice cream now because I'm hoping it'll make me feel better. So you want to just be aware during that process. Allow yourself to eat the ice cream freely. Ask yourself how you're feeling before you eat it, how you're feeling after. Did this help me in any way? Did this help me cope with my feelings? And just be okay with the fact that you ate emotionally. And then do that first, and then to add on to that, just start adding other coping mechanisms into your life. So when you're feeling sad or angry or whatever, and you find yourself wanting to eat, you could stop and ask yourself, what is it that I'm really wanting here? What is it that I need here? Do I need to journal and let out my feelings? Do I need to talk to somebody else? Do I feel like I need a warm hug, and a cup of tea would feel like a warm hug right now? Do I need to go for a run? Do I need to move my body? Am I eating out of boredom, so I should find something else to do? Start asking yourself those questions. Become curious. Start adding other things into your toolbox. And eventually, emotional eating diminishes. Like, the amount of time that you do it lessens and lessens. Like I said, it never stops, but at least you're doing it a lot less often. And you're finding ways to cope that actually helps solve the problem and helps you feel better, and not just puts a Band-Aid on it in the way that emotional eating does. So anyway, that was the conversation that I had with my friend, and this episode has gone longer than I thought it was going to. So I guess I had a lot to say. I kind of like doing these free form episodes where I'm just kind of talking about things. I do have one friend that prefers when I actually have a topic and I just get to it and teach what I need to teach and then move on. But I know a lot of people do like the stories in the free form as well. So if you have a preference, let me know what that is. Again, you know where to reach out to me. But in general, as we are now into 2019, I just want you to know that, like I always tell you, you already are enough and you are doing enough. Now I just challenge you to be more consistent in building your habits. So instead of thinking that you failed when you have a few off days or you take a day off or a week off or whatever, just be consistent. Pick right back up where you left off and leave the judgment behind. Trust in the process, trust yourself, and don't be so hard on yourself. Next week, we're going to talk about perfectionism, so you will get more into that. But just remember that there is an all or something way to do life, and that there is enough time for you to take things moment by moment and day by day. And I know our lives aren't going to last forever, but that's why it's also more important for you to just be in the moment, to appreciate every single day, no matter what, to not base your worth on your achievements. And healing, if you're having a tough relationship to food in your body, I swear that healing those things will give you your life back and allow you to feel a happiness that you never knew was possible for yourself. So happy new year. And I will talk to you again next week. Don't forget to check out laurenkepler.com and grab a copy of my 5-day meal prep challenge if you haven't, or if you're interested in that. And then again, I would love reviews. I'd love for you to reach out to me on Instagram at Lauren M. Kepler and find me on Facebook at Lauren Kepler. Have an awesome week, and I will talk to you next week.